Welcome to Ghost Biz here on the Business Report. I'm Gary Strubel, and every week I get to chat to the finance ghost about what's going on in the markets, both foreign and domestic. Let's start out with the local scene from a Southern African perspective and a brand Namibians would be familiar with, which is Rainbow Chicken. And they released some results in June. Revenue only up 8%, but EBITDA up nearly 600 million to 630 million. So an enormous increase in EBITDA. Tell us a little bit about those results.
Hi, Gary. Thanks for doing this with me as always. Look, the Rainbow Chicken results are actually just an extract from what was already released by RCL Foods when Rainbow Chicken was still part of them. So we have this interesting scenario where it was unbundled after the end of the reporting period. So basically, the Rainbow Chicken results were kind of stuck in and amongst the RCL Foods results. And it's not an ideal scenario for Rainbow Chicken shareholders and investors trying to find out more. So the company's actually gone and extracted their numbers and now released a report that just has Rainbow Chicken in it, which I think is the right move. Nothing new in it in terms of stuff the market didn't already know. But yeah, it's always worth highlighting just the economics of the chicken industry and how crazy thin the margins are, where you have a relatively minor increase in revenue. It pretty much drops all to the bottom line and bam, you know, your profits go through the roof. Because to be honest, they were sitting at slightly loss-making in the comparable period, or at least around that sort of break-even mark. So then when you have a bit of an improvement, you know, the profitability just goes crazy. So it's been a much better year for poultry, definitely. And really is just a feature of that industry that profits are incredibly volatile because the margins are so thin.
Another brand we all know and use here in Namibia is Spa. There's a friendly Spa wherever you are. And it seems there are friendly Spas in Poland, or there used to be, and also in Switzerland. And in fact, in a number of places around the world, that is providing a headache for Spa. They released some announcements recently, and it's costing them money to get out of Poland. My interesting takeaway from your article around that was liquor sales up 10.5%, and that's pretty much it, along with pharmaceuticals. So a couple of beers and then perhaps some headache pills providing growth for Spa. Tell us what's going on there.
Yeah, the beers and headache pills jokes absolutely right themselves on this one, as do the friendly Spa wherever you are jokes. I, of course, remember that tagline as well. You know, Spa's had a brand that's been with us for so long. We all have something we remember that they've run as an advertising campaign at some point. And therefore, it's kind of amazing that they've actually managed to go and do so much damage to their group by doing offshore deals like the Poland deal. And yes, they got unlucky with COVID, sure, but still, you know, to go and do these high-risk transactions like that, to go and buy retailers that are in difficult scenarios and introduce lots of deal risk, you know, it just creates a huge mess. They actually have to give Poland away. In fact, they have to pay someone to take it away. They have to go and put more money into it, which they have to raise debt for, if you can believe it. So, you know, it's like when you, I don't know, you've like gone and financed a car, but you didn't insure it. And then you have an accident and you have to keep paying the thing off, even though you don't have the car anymore. That's basically what it's like now for Spa in Poland, or what it will be when that deal goes through. But I've got to say, the thing that worries me most is actually Switzerland. You know, that could well be the next headache along the line. The issue in Switzerland is, yes, there might be a friendly Spa wherever you are in Switzerland, but no one cares because they drive across the border to go and buy cheaper groceries and then they take it home again. So Spa sits there incurring all the costs of being in Switzerland, but they miss out on the local business. So pretty worrying situation there. They did very well during COVID in Switzerland because the borders were closed. I mean, just imagine that, right? Isn't that just a crazy situation? COVID helped them because people couldn't go across the border to buy groceries. They were kind of stuck there and had to buy within Switzerland. Just remarkable, and tells you everything about the cost of living in Switzerland. So that business turnover is down, and it's been going down for a while now. I think that may well be the next headache at Spa. The group is just too complicated and operating in countries where it just doesn't seem to be very appealing, honestly.
Now, Ghost, you know, we can't avoid the mention of Trusco because they're always up to something or other. Interesting news that they're able to generate. But in this time, I'm taking a look at in your Little Bite section in your excellent ghostmail.co.za. You can check out those newsletters. There's a number of suspended shares that are still issuing results, but notices and notifications, many of them because their results aren't ready for publication. Perhaps it's a useful opportunity to just talk to listeners about suspended shares. Now, when your shares get suspended, it doesn't mean the company stops trading, but it does mean that people can no longer trade in your shares. And there's a number of reasons for that. In this case, it's Ephora Energy, PSV Holdings, Crometco, and Conduit Capital. In Conduit Capital's instance, there's an issue of a 50 million rand award that was made in favor of the company against a business in the Trustco group that you can only imagine would court chaos in a smaller business. But these suspensions, just give us perhaps a bit of background on what would cause a company shares to be suspended and how do they remedy it?
Yep, I always know when I see something from Trustco, even if it is the most random mention, Gary, that you will never miss it. And you haven't missed it, although, yeah, let's just be clear. Trustco is not suspended from trading. It's actually Conduit Capital that is suspended from trading. And the reference to Trustco there is that they are trying to enforce an arbitration award that they were given against Trustco. But yes, good opportunity to talk about suspended shares overall. Basically, the JSE has a set of listings requirements, and it's pretty straightforward. If you meet those listings requirements, then great, you can trade on their market and people can buy and sell. If you do not meet the listings requirements and you break them badly enough that you are now suspended, then guess what? There is no trade of shares on the JSE. Now, that's not to say that the company is bankrupt, and it's also not to say that the shares are worthless. And it's not to say that you can't phone your friend up around the corner who is interested in your shares and sell it to that person, or find someone privately who has shares and buy from them. It just means that actual trade on the JSE has been suspended. Of course, in practice, that makes it very, very difficult to buy or sell any of the shares, makes it very difficult to do anything really. And the company is then under a lot of pressure to sort it out, because if they are suspended for long enough, then the JSE may take the step of actually just killing off the listing. I've got to say that they don't do it nearly often enough. There are so many zombie listings on the market, it's actually just frustrating, especially when those quarterly updates come out. And I feel like I've been reading the same thing for the longest time about how something is suspended and waiting to be recapitalized, whatever the case may be. But occasionally, companies do come out of suspension. And it's often because they fall behind on their financial statements. There can be various reasons for this. It's not because their auditors were slack. It's normally because they either had some major fraud that was being investigated, or they were running out of money and they couldn't go and do the financials on a going concern basis. There are a lot of potential reasons why it happens, but often when that's the issue, when it's because the financials are behind, the company will catch up at some point and then actually sort of come back to life and the suspension will be lifted. So Ephora Energy is just the latest example of that. Crometco is kind of en route to getting its suspension lifted. You know, as for Conduit Capital, they still have a whole lot of things they need to try and sort out. And PSV Holdings has been suspended for as long as I can remember. They've been in negotiations for ages about a potential recapitalization of the company. So yeah, it's kind of like the bottom of the dustbin stuff on the local market. And something that I just mentioned in GhostBytes, in the unfortunate case where people are sitting with shares in these suspended companies, which of course does happen.
And then lastly, Ghost, let's take a look at a share that has been a darling before, but is still providing enormous growth. Capitec is the share we're talking about. And their interim dividend growth is 36%, which is a tremendous return for any investor. What's going on at Capitec?
Yeah, Capitec is just a crazy story, right? So we knew these numbers would be strong because as early as, I think it was June or July, they came out and said, hey, this is going to be a bumper period. And then they kind of kept updating the guidance, and now they finally have released their earnings. The share price didn't actually move on the day of the earnings release because the market kind of knew it was coming. And also because Capitec is priced for perfection, but it has had one hell of a year, you know, as everyone has kind of realized just how well this company is doing. Because I think the magic of Capitec is that they've gone so far beyond what they originally were in terms of, you know, doing unsecured lending, starting to offer some basic current accounts. These days, they've got a fully operational business bank where they are taking market share and they are investing aggressively in it. They've introduced stuff like Life Cover as well. It's just a great business. It is by a country mile the best business story of democratic South Africa. Nothing else has delivered returns. Anything close to Capitec, I mean, it really is extraordinary. If you go and draw a chart and you pick the max setting on Google Finance, which takes you back to like early 2000s, I think just before that, the percentage return is over 221,000%. Which shows you what happens when a company is just built from nothing into something truly, truly excellent. And yeah, the numbers just look strong pretty much across the board. The one thing I will mention, which I found really interesting, is that the business banking side, which is a new initiative for them, increased its customer numbers by 31% in the past year, which is obviously fantastic. But headline earnings actually fell by 12%, and they attribute this to things like being aggressive on price. So, you know, good luck to Capitec's competitors in that space, because frankly, the business banking side of the market has been fat and happy for far too long. There's no real innovation. The fees are too high. And this is exactly what Capitec does. They spot these gaps and they come in and they go for it. And they do it so, so well. So yeah, watch out, competitors. Well done to Capitec. Another monster result.
All right, Ghost, thank you. We'll leave it there and we'll chat again next week here on Ghost Biz. Maybe you can get along to ghostmail.co.za, subscribe to any of the newsletters there to stay up to date with what's going on in the markets. Or you can tune in next week, same time, to learn all about what's going on here on Ghost Biz.